Hey, it's Reagan from Redeeming Productivity. Yesterday, we hosted the Time Stewardship Crash Course. It was a big webinar on these five keys to stewarding your time as a Christian. We talked about the theological importance of viewing time as a stewardship, and we also really dug into these five keys, these principles, these tactics you can use to better manage your time. We had over 500 people register for the event. We had a great turnout live. It was a lot of fun. Spent a lot of time Q&A at the end. But a lot of you emailed me, said, hey, I couldn't make it. I didn't even register. Can I get a recording? And so I thought, let me just release this recording publicly. I'll put it out on the YouTube and on the podcast channel, and you guys can hopefully glean some things from this, even if you couldn't make it live. Hope this will be a blessing to you. Let's dive into the Time Stewardship Crash Course.
We're going to be talking about this concept of time management, but we're going to be talking in terms of stewardship. All right. And because that, I think, is the main differentiating factor about how a Christian thinks about using their time. So over the next 60 minutes, we'll talk about some principles from the scriptures that change the way that Christians think about time management. That's how we engage differently with managing our time than someone who maybe doesn't know the Lord, because that really is the difference. We might do some of the same practices, right? We might use calendars, all that, but there's a big difference in the heart behind how we think about our time. And so let's look at a few principles, and then we'll get into really, really practical, just five keys that you can take away from this that you can actually apply to your life and start using today to better manage your time for the Lord's glory. So first principle I would just share is that managing your time is a stewardship. It's a stewardship. You know, in Matthew 25, it talks about the parable of the talents, right? And often we think of stewardship in terms of money, which is true. But actually, all of life is a stewardship. And stewardship just means that when we're managing our time, it's actually that we're managing God's time. Thomas Watson, famous Puritan pastor, he said, time is a talent to trade with. And so it is part of our stewardship. Somebody asked in the chat, are the slides going to be available after the presentation? Yeah, absolutely. I can send out a PDF of all the slides when I send out the video. But this really is the key, and everything else we're going to talk about is downstream from this. If we can get our heads around that it's not our time to manage. Time management, if you read a book on it or something, it's not about how do I manage my time so I can get every single thing done that's possibly done? How do I manage my time so I can be more successful or make more money or all of those things? That's not the main reason we manage our time. We manage our time because it's not our time. It's the Lord's time. And so it's a stewardship from God. I need to invest it well. So another aspect of how we think about managing our time is that it's not just an optional thing. It's actually part of wisdom. I think all of us want to be wise, I would hope, that we want to live our lives well. And part of wisdom is managing your time. You read in Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 that look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil, right? The point there is that's where we get the phrase redeem the time, right? In the King James, it would say redeem the time. So the reason we do that is because it's part of wisdom, is what the Apostle Paul is saying. We're wanting to make the best use of our time because it's wise. I think one way this practically plays out for a lot of us is, you know, not every season has the same opportunities. So we have to work while the sun is shining. So for example, if you've ever been like a really busy season of life, I remember this happened after we first moved back to Michigan from California. I remember my wife and I saying like all these other things we had to take care of, little projects, little things we should have done like years ago, but we put off. We said, why didn't we do this before when we had the extra time? Now we don't have any time. We have babies. Like, why didn't we do those things then? And that's kind of the point here, is not every season has the same opportunities. So we want to make the best use of the time, the season that we're in. When you're in a season where there's not a ton going on, diligence says, wisdom says, let's work ahead, right? Talks about this in Proverbs, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, right? She makes provision for the winter, for the hard seasons, by being diligent in the summer and the spring, right? So the same way with us, we manage our time so that we're trying to be wise with it. The third thing I would add to this, just principally, is managing your time is an obligation. It's not optional. I think sometimes we approach time management and we think, you know, that's for those people who are like type A, or they're like really driven, or they're like detail oriented, and you they have these multicolored wall calendars and every sticky notes, and there's like a system for everything. And sure, like that, some people are really given to the details of that. Naturally, it's a personality thing. But generally, managing your time is not something that's just an option, right? If it's wisdom, if it's a stewardship thing, we have to take it seriously. And I think this on this slide here, I have a quote from George Mueller. He says, "Wasting time is unbecoming of a saint who is bought by the precious blood of Jesus. His time and all he has is to be used for the Lord," right? He's picking up on that idea of stewardship, and he's pressing it in on us. And he's saying, you can't waste time. And that doesn't mean you don't rest. We're going to talk about rest in here as well. We obviously need that. That's part of our time stewardship, but we can't just fritter it away. It's an obligation for us as stewards. We need to be found faithful even in how we employ our time. And that means taking seriously, coming up with systems, shoring up the areas in our lives where we aren't quite using our time as wisely as we could. But on a more positive note, managing your time is an opportunity. You get to manage your time. It's not just a have to, it's a get to. And listen as I try to like flesh this out a little bit. So Ephesians 2:8-9, right? You've been saved by grace through faith, not by works, right? It's the idea that your salvation isn't dependent on your good works. But Ephesians 2:10 goes on to say that for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And let me try to connect this for you with time management. It's not, as we say, you're not saved by works, but you are saved unto good works, right? There is work that you have to do in this world. And that is the opportunity of time management. Those works which God has prepared for you in advance, that's what you're trying to manage your time for. So let me try to disabuse you of this notion of time management. You are not trying to, as a Christian, you're not trying to manage your time so you can cram everything that you possibly can do all into 8 hours a day and try to make this tiny life contain all the things that you could possibly do. That's not the goal. The goal for the Christian is connected directly with God's calling on your life as a Christian. If God has set this out as what he wants you to do with your life, you have enough time to do that. So where does the problem come from? It comes from not the stuff God's called you to do. You have enough time to do that. You don't have enough time to do all the other stuff you tried to pull in alongside it. Does that make sense? Are you guys following? Are you tracking? Managing your time is a massive opportunity. It's ordering your life around the mission that God has given you as a believer. So it's not just this piddly thing for people who are like really into like nerding out on apps and stuff like that. Although I can nerd on apps, trust me. But it's about stewarding your life. That's the key. That's the big takeaway here. That's what I want you to walk away from this with. If nothing else, I want you to walk away with, the point is stewardship, okay? And the encouragement is that means managing your time is possible. It's possible. I think sometimes we rail against, we say, I don't have time to do all this. I don't have time. You have enough time to do what the Lord has called you to do, because he's not being unfair to you and saying, here's an impossible mission. You have enough time to do it. It's possible. It's possible. So be encouraged. And I want to share with you some tools to actually help you with the nitty-gritty practicals of managing your time, because it is not, it's possible, but it's not easy, especially in our modern world with all the different distractions, all the different things pulling at our attention. So let's talk about the practical side. We'll turn our attention now to the five keys of faithful time stewardship. The five keys. All right. So these are basically just five elements that will help you on the practical side of managing your time. That's what we're going for here. And the first one is probably not exactly what you're expecting, because my first one is accept your limits. The first key to stewarding your time faithfully is accepting your limits. So again, it is not about trying to cram everything in. I think this is a lot of times how people get into productivity and time management. They get into a really busy season of life, maybe in high school or college, or you know, get into a career path where you're like, whoa, there's more coming at me than I have the capacity to handle. I better learn time management. And so you're kind of coming at it from the opposite direction where you say, how do I learn tools to cram all of this together? But actually the way that we start is by saying, wait, hold on. I can't do everything. I need to begin by accepting my limits. And so you have these pressures on you. And I think sometimes they come from other people or from your boss or from family. But more often, I think they come from us, where you have this guilt you operate under where you say, I have to do, there's all these things I must do, and I'm not able to keep up with all of them. And so you're trying to figure out, how do I claw myself out of this hole? I feel like I'm drowning in stuff. And I say to you, the first place to begin is to recognize you are not God. You're not God. You are not omnipotent. You can't do it all. You can't do it all. You're just a creature. You're finite. Francis Schaeffer talks about this in his book, True Spirituality. He compares us to Atlas, you know, like you've seen the statue, the guy holding the big globe, the earth on his back, and he's kind of crouched down. He says, that's what we try to do. We try to take on more than we can hold. We try to take on all these different obligations, and we're crushed under their weight. And he even says in there that a lot of the issues that a lot of us struggle with, stress and worry and all this different stuff, a lot of it can be traced back to the fact that, hey, you're trying to do more than a creature can do. And I think this is even made harder in this age where we're all online. And so you're aware of all these different problems, all these different things you could be doing. And so there's this constant stress of, I need to be doing more, 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 more. And eventually it just starts to crush you. And the encouragement I think we should take away as Christians approaching time management is, we are limited, and that should be an encouragement. You can't do it all. And guess what else? God knows that. In fact, in Psalm 103, 13 and 14, I love this. I love this so much. It says, as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So let me flesh this out a little bit. I bolded that last part for a reason. The point of this that the psalmist is making here is, just like a father shows compassion for his children, God shows compassion on us, his children. Okay, but why does he do it? Why does he show compassion on us? Why is he compassionate? This condescending love he has towards us, like a father to a child, because he knows our frame. He's saying he knows what we're like, what we're made of. He remembers that we're dust, right? You remember God made man from the dust, from the dirt of the ground. You're a dirt ball. I'm a dirt ball. And actually, being a dirt ball is really great, because guess what? God, who is infinite, who can handle everything, knows that we are small, we are finite, we can't do it all. And he shows compassion on us. It's like with, you know, it says like a father to a child, to my son. I don't try to overload him with stuff that a child can't handle and say, you got to do this. Like, why aren't you mowing the lawn? You're 5 years old. Like, why aren't you driving and doing errands for us? That'd be crazy. I show compassion on him because I understand his limited capacity. And what the psalmist is saying is, God's the same way. He's not the one who is putting on you this burden to be what you're not, to try to be infinite, to try to be omnipotent. He says, I've got that job covered, child. I just want you to be faithful with the little that I give you to do. Man, what a relief, right? What a relief. You don't have to do it all. God doesn't expect you to. He doesn't expect you to. And when we do try to do this, it leads to problems, doesn't it? If you reject your limits, what happens? You burn out. I found this online, I think last year, at Wisdom Made Easy, and I just loved the graphic. I want to share it with you. It's like, you will burn out if you don't rest, right? The little tank emptying out, right? We've all known that feeling. And I think it's apropos here. Rest is needful. God made us to require it. Jesus said to the Pharisees when they were talking about the Sabbath and saying, why aren't you following this rule, this rule, this rule, this rule about the Sabbath? And he tells them principally, hey, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift to man. It's something for man. Rest is something God made for us, not something to for us to serve and be burdened by. And so he gets it. He understands it. And it's us who put this pressure on ourselves to be what we're not, when in fact we serve an infinite God who can take care of all this stuff. He's just invited us in and asked us to be faithful with the little he's given us. So that's the first one. And I really wanted to emphasize that. Accept your limits. The second key to faithful time stewardship is know your roles. So know your roles. I think we have this problem, and we want to glorify God with our lives. Now, I trust that if you came onto this call or you're watching this later, you're interested in time stewardship because you want to live a faithful life. So we want that. But then the problem is we lack clarity about what that looks like in our specific situation, right? So we understand generally what Christian faithfulness looks like from the scriptures, but you get through the Bible and you're like, where's the appendix that tells me what I should be doing with my life, right? And this is the stuff that comes up a lot of times. And when I talk to college students or people who are almost done with high school, they're often saying like, what's the Lord's will for my life, right? How do I know my calling? What should I be doing? And what I often say is, look, what you should be doing right now is what your current responsibilities are. Very often, what we need to do is simply look around us and say, what are the roles? What are the responsibilities? What are the domains God's given me to steward right now? And how do I be faithful in those? And then trust that if you're faithful in the little things, he will set you over the bigger things, just as our Lord said. And so this problem, though, is a lack of specificity about our current season. Too often we're trying to zoom forward 5 years or 10 years and saying, what should I be doing then? What should you be doing now? How do you be faithful in what God's given you to do right now? That's the big question. But even with that answer, to even be able to say, well, I have my job, I have this, what we often don't do is press a little bit further and say, what does faithfulness look like in these roles? So when we don't have that clarity, here's what the problem leads to. If you lack clarity about what the Lord's calling you to do in this season, it leads to overcommitment, right? You say, you take on all these different things because you don't have a specific focus on being faithful in the main things he's called you to. It leads to a lack of focus. It leads to aimlessness. You kind of wander from thing to thing. You don't have clarity. It leads to an inability to set effective goals, right? If someone says you should be setting goals, and you're saying, I don't even know like who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing. What am I going to set a goal on? So you just arbitrarily pick them out of the sky because you don't have clarity. Difficulty saying no. People come to you with an opportunity, you say yes to everything. And then what leads to overcommitment? When you have clarity on your responsibilities, what faithfulness looks like in the different areas of your life, it helps you to be focused, to commit to excellence in those areas, to not say yes to every opportunity, but only those that comport with the things God's called you to do in this season. Lots of focus. So what are these? How do we get clarity here? Well, I think it starts with this concept. I call it domains of stewardship. I talk about it in my book, Redeeming Productivity. But this is the idea of most of us have these six areas. You might break this down differently, but it's just helpful. If you don't have a starting place, use these six. It's the idea of what are my big roles and responsibility? And most of us have these six. Spiritual, my walk with the Lord. Am I in the Word? Am I praying? My physical body, am I taking care of that? My relationships, my economical, so like my money and my possessions, taking care of my household. Am I stewarding that well? Vocation, so that's your work, or even if you're not working, if you're a homemaker, maybe that's your home. If you're retired, maybe it's a volunteer thing. It's just the main thing you do. Recreation, so that includes rest. Are you stewarding that well? That's part of our stewardship, by the way. You need managing your time. Stewarding it includes having time to rest, and not just rest, but even recreation, leisure, worshiping the Lord by enjoying the good things he gives you, right? So if you look at these six areas, they start to give you some clarity. You say, okay, I know I have these roles. These are the roles. And so the question from that is, what does faithfulness look like in each of these roles? And this is where the clarity comes in. I would really encourage you to do this. Is take those six roles or make up your own. Say, I'm a student, I'm a husband, I'm right. Write all those down and then ask yourself this question. What would faithfulness look like in each of those domains of stewardship? And you start to get some clarity. We have an exercise that can help you do that. It's called a well done statement. And this is where you write out a really well articulated statement of that addresses each of those areas. And it's, but here's the trick with it. It's written from the perspective of what you hope Christ will say to you when you meet him. Right. We talked about the parable of the talents, right? What we want, all of us, is to, when we meet Christ, for him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master," right? Just like he says to the faithful servants. That's what we want to hear, right? What if you, kind of using your sanctified imagination, imagine when I meet Christ, if he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant," how would he define the faithfulness in each of those areas of my life? That's what a well-done statement is. We even have a little worksheet. You can grab this if you want it at redeemproductivity.com/well-done-worksheet. And that you can actually just fill it out. But basically, like mine says something along the lines of, at the top it says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful, dot, dot, dot." And then for the spiritual section, I say, "In your walk with me, you've been faithful to walk with me daily, to pray, to study my word, to hide it in your heart, right? To confess your sins to me. When it comes to relationships, you've been faithful to your wife. You've loved her as Christ has loved the church. You've been faithful with raising your children in the wisdom and admonition of the Lord," right? And so you're defining faithfulness from an eternal perspective so that when you look back on your life, here's what happens. It makes very clear the gap between where you want to be as a faithful steward and where you are right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you define that with, "I would hope that the Lord would say to me, I was faithful to walking him daily in my daily devotions." And then you say, "Am I doing that? Not really. Maybe once a week, maybe not at all," right? Then you start to make a plan to close that gap. And that often involves managing your time differently, choosing to spend your time in different ways so that the things that ought to be your priorities are actually in your schedule. Okay. So, does that make sense, everybody? Are you following along? James, could you post the link to that worksheet in the chat? It's just redeemingproductivity.com/well-done-worksheet. And you guys can use that. And I'll say too, at the very end of this, I'm going to talk, we have like a program you can go through with us if you want to go deeper. A big part of that is this, we have a little like segment of the course, a module that takes you through this really in depth. So if you want to go deeper on this part specifically, we have that in our academy. Thanks, John. John says, "I'm not James, but I found it." Appreciate it. Thanks for sharing that. It's in the chat if you guys are following along with that link. Okay, so we've talked about so far in these five keys of faithful stewardship, we have talked about accepting your limits. We've talked about knowing your role. So let's go on to number three, and that's track your commitments. Track your commitments. Here, go to the scriptures here. In Matthew 5:37, we have this passage where Jesus is talking about not making oaths, right? He says, "Don't, you know, swear by this," or "I swear by that," or all that. He says, "Instead, let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil," right? So let your yes be yes or your no be no. The main point is being somebody who doesn't need to swear by a higher power, because you, when you say yes, you follow through, and you say no, you follow through. You're consistent. You're not a flake. I think very often, like sometimes we might just out of negligence say yes to something and then not follow through because we were being hypocrites in it. But more often, and tell me this is you at all, in our modern world, someone asks us to do something and with all the best intentions in the world, we say, "Yes, I would love to help you with that." And then we forget. We forget that we made a commitment. And so we fail to be a person of our word. We fail to be faithful in following through with what we said simply because there's just so much stuff coming at us. Most common scenario, actually 2 weeks ago at church, someone in the lobby of the church asked me after the service, "Hey, could you email me this graphic, this thing that they needed?" And I said, "Absolutely. Let me write that down." And I put it into my task tracking system, which we'll talk about in just a moment. Why did I do that? Because I was going to have 10 more conversations before I got to my car. And by then I would have completely forgotten. I just think it's table stakes in the modern world to have some way to track your commitments. Otherwise, they're just all over the place and you can't keep track of them and you can't be a person of integrity. And so this, if you're trying to keep everything in your head still and it's not working for you, this is the key that you need to focus on. So I say it this way, if you want to be a person who keeps their commitments, you must learn to get commitments out of your brain and into an organized and trusted system. And actually, three systems. I want to talk about three systems for tracking your commitments. And this is really high level. And you can go really deep and crazy on each of these, but all this stuff you could do with a paper pocket planner if you wanted to, or you can use lots of different apps. But really, the three systems I think are most important for keeping your commitments are a calendar, a task manager, and an information system. So a calendar, that's kind of obvious. A task manager would be something like the Reminders app on your phone, or a paper to-do list, or things, or Todoist, right? There's a lot of different options for this. And those have their merits. I'm just saying you need a place, a dedicated place for tracking tasks. And the third one's an information system. Where does everything else go? Someone sends me a relevant email, where do I put it? So let's talk about these three. And maybe for you, you have one or two of these set right. Maybe you don't have any of them, but I think there'll be something in here to be helpful for you. We'll give you tips about each of them. So here's kind of how I picture that when a commitment comes across my plate, right? That big black dot. We'll say, maybe that's an email or that conversation in the lobby or just an idea, something I want to do, something I'm saying, I'm going to say yes to this. The first question you need to ask is, what is this thing? Is it an appointment? Is it a task? Or is it just information I need to save? That's the triage. If it's an appointment, it goes to the calendar. If it's a task, it goes to the task manager. If it's information, it goes to the information system. It's really that simple, but we make it way more complicated because we kind of mix and blend some of these together, or we put our tasks on the calendar and then we don't trust the calendar anymore. So let me give you tips for each of these systems. I'm not going to go super deep into what apps you should use, but I'll give you some general tips for these that I think will save you a lot of time and a lot of frustration, and most importantly, help you to keep your commitments. So let's talk about tips for the calendar. Tips for the calendar. First, add appointments right away. Don't trust yourself to remember. I think I already made that point as I was talking about the thing the guy told me in the church lobby. This is where having, like, for as much as your phone can be distracting, that is a nice benefit of having your phone with you. If you have a digital calendar, you can capture stuff right away in the calendar, but just don't even wait 2 seconds. I tell people most of the time it's rude to pull your phone out when someone's talking to you, but this is like the one exception when someone says, hey, can you do this on this date? And you say, yes, hold on, I'm going to write it down right now in front of you, and you pull it out. That's not rude. That's you being very, very gracious to them and being respectful. The other thing you can do if you're not into using the technology so much, like I have one of these, it's a little pocket calendar for the year. It's just a Moleskine thing, 2024. And it just, you can write stuff down in this too. Easy. Lots of different options for doing that to make sure you capture it right away. Second thing, and this only applies to digital calendars, but use alerts and reminders. My goodness, that's like the best benefit of a digital calendar is that it can take the remembering off of your plate, but it can also take the reminding off your plate. You don't even have to check it. So when you have something that's coming up, when you're putting it into the calendar, add an alert to it. So sometimes the calendar system will default to, like, if it's a Zoom meeting, maybe you get an alert 10 minutes before, that kind of thing, or a day before, whatever the defaults are. I always encourage people, take the extra 5 seconds to think, when do I need to be alerted by this? So for example, yesterday I was doing a thing for our church that they'd asked me to do months ago. And I put that on my calendar months ago. And I said, I need to be reminded 1 week before this because I'm going to need enough time to prepare for it. Right. So even if I'm, you know, I look at my calendar most days, but sometimes you don't look a week ahead. And so I wanted a reminder a week ahead that went boop, 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 boop. And I said, okay, all right. If I totally forgot about this thing up until then, at least now I have a week to prepare for it. Right. And so plan ahead. Mother's Day just happened. That's another good example. If you're like, this is for the men in the audience. If you're like, I forget about my anniversary or Mother's Day and I don't buy a gift in time, and then I'm waiting in line forever, for big things like that, put a week, 2 week reminder ahead of time so that your calendar is doing the memory for you. That's what it's there for. It gets it out of your brain. Let the system do the work. Another thing you can do, especially if you're trying to collaborate, my wife can see my personal calendar. She can add stuff to it. It makes it a lot simpler. They're different colors. So take advantage of that. Not everything has to be in one place. Review your calendar at least once a week. Some people live out of their calendar. They're like, what do you mean once a week? I'm in my calendar every day. Some people, their lives aren't as appointment based. We'll talk about a weekly review here in a little bit. That is a good time to look at your calendar, but staying on top of it. Now, here's something I want to share with you is things not to include on a calendar. Not everything should go on your calendar. It is not a catch-all. That's why I said there's three systems, and too many people put the wrong things on the calendar. Don't put to-dos on the calendar. And now some people, they have a whole system for blocking out their time and putting their tasks on the calendar. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the average person who's using a calendar for appointments. If you have on your calendar all of your appointments, events, things like that are coming up that you actually have to be at, and then next to that, right in the same place, are things that you hope you'll do. Like, I'll work on this paper at that time, or, you know, this is when I'll take the dog for a walk. And those are sitting next to each other. You basically have must-dos and maybe I'll do it next to each other. And that makes you lose confidence in your calendar. David Allen, the author of Getting Things Done, he said, view your calendar as the hard landscape of your life. These are external commitments that must be done. They're not negotiable. That's what a calendar is for. Everything else should go into a task manager type system or a to-do list. So don't put to-dos on your calendar. Here's some things not to include in your calendar as well. Don't put things you hope to do at a certain time but don't need to be done. I think I kind of already made that point, but don't just put stuff on there that are maybes. Put the stuff that are external appointments, things you will keep no matter what, unless they get canceled. And last thing, this is kind of a summary statement. Don't put anything that is not a real time-bounded commitment. Those are some advice for how to use the calendar better. All right, so let's talk about tips for task management. So task management, I'm talking about a to-do list or a more complex to-do list. And call it task management because this is stuff that you need to do, right? These are tasks, projects, that kind of stuff. If you're not going to keep those on the calendar, where do you keep this stuff? Have a separate system for it. So I'll give you four steps for this. The first one is, well, they follow this order. I want to, the acronym COPE, COPE. How do you cope with all the stuff you need to do? One system to rule them all and in the darkness bind them. That's Lord of the Rings. All right. Second, you centralize, you want to organize. Don't let your to-do list, your task management system get out of control. As you're dumping stuff in there throughout the week, not all of it's relevant and all of it needs to be done. You need a system for organizing it. I recommend at least once a week going through this list, crossing out stuff that doesn't matter anymore or deleting it if you're using a digital tool like Todoist, for example, combining stuff, making them clearer. Take those steps to tend the garden of your to-dos. That's kind of how I think about it. It's a maintenance activity. Organize it. And then prioritize. That's the P. This is just once a day, preferably in the morning, pick your tasks off the list. So if you're keeping in there, here's the stuff I need to do, then once per day, you go in there and you say, what thing should I do today? I can't remember where I learned this from, but the idea is just take three things. Because what you're going to want to do is you say, I'll do 15. There's 8 hours in the day. You're not going to do 15. Instead, you just pick a few and you say, these are the priorities. And then you go a step further. You circle one of those and saying, this is the actual priority. This one's going to get done, even if nothing else gets done of these three. And do that one first and then try to do the other two as well. You say, but that's not enough. What if I finish them too quick? Then go back to the list and pick more. But this is forcing you, it's just a very simple way to force you to focus on what's important rather than being overwhelmed by this massive list. I even, just as a tip, I will copy out of my digital tool. So I use Notion to manage all my tasks, but I'll look at the top tasks, pick my priorities, and I'll just write them down on a piece of paper and then I'll hide Notion because then I don't even want to see the other stuff. Once I've chosen my priorities, it's time to go heads down and just work on them, not be overwhelmed by all the other stuff that isn't relevant right now. And the last thing is execute. And that just means do it. And I only added that so that I could make the acronym say COPE, but just do it. And that is where you just go heads down and you do the work. You're capturing new stuff as it comes in. You're organizing it, tending that garden. You're prioritizing, picking what's most important. And then you just do it. and then you just do it, and it just goes over and over again. We talk about this more in, we have a course called To-Do List Done Right that you can take if you're in the academy. By the way, I should have said this at the start. If you're here, if you're somebody who's in Redeeming Productivity Academy, could you say hey in the chat? Like I said, I'll talk about this a little bit more at the end if anybody's interested, but we have a program called Redeeming Productivity Academy, and it's basically a membership program that has a ton of courses and then also like accountability. We do workshops like this, office hours with me each week, tons of different stuff. And you can join that, and I'll have some details at the end and a special offer for you if you want to stick around for that. But yeah, hey, everybody. Welcome, everybody. So they were very gracious in letting us open this one up to the public. It's like a free event, but this is the kind of stuff that we do in there. So if you want to go deeper on time management or any of these specific things we're talking about, we've got lots of resources in there. All right, let's keep moving right along. So one, this is just kind of a side tip, but you can use that domains of stewardship I talked about as like an organizing principle for a lot of different things. So you could use it to organize your task list. Say you use the, say you're an Apple user and use the Reminders app. You could organize your life by those areas. You could do the same thing with the files on your computer we're going to talk about in a minute. It's a very nice, just overarching rubric to give some guidance to where you put stuff. All right, let's look at the last system and then we'll jump to the next one. Kara asks, can you share, can you link or share the specific apps you use? I can say them here. I have, I can send out when I send out the email with the recording of this, a page that has details on them. I use Notion for most things. I use it for information management and for projects and a bunch of other stuff. And we also, I know I keep plugging the Academy, but we have a template for Notion in there. That you can get if you're a member, that kind of is the everything app. But I also, I really like Things if you're looking for a standalone app. If you're an Apple user, also Reminders is awesome. The best sort of like universal task management app that I know of that will work on any platform is Todoist. That's like the most popular one that's out there. Todoist, it's called. And so that's for managing the tasks. In terms of calendar, again, I'm an Apple user. I use an app that is called Fantastical. So Fantastical, C-A-L. And it's basically like Apple Calendar, but it's got a few more bells and whistles. And that's my preferred program for that. But even Outlook is fine, honestly, for email and for calendar. I think Outlook is awesome. If you're working in 365 environment with your work or something, that's a great app. So feel free to use that too. Great question. All right, let's talk about the last system. This is probably one most of us don't have in our lives. You've got files strewn across your hard drive. Maybe your system for organization is keeping everything in the downloads folder. That's just files. You also have stuff strewn across different apps. Maybe you use stuff on the Notes app on your phone. Maybe you use Evernote. Like, you know, you put stuff in different places. So the same thing applies, I think, to information management. You need to have one place you store this stuff. So for me, that's Notion. I think that's great. Evernote's a great option. Apple Notes, again, awesome option. If you can just use the default apps like Apple Notes, Apple Reminders, if you're on an iPhone, those will more than do the job for you. If you want to get more fancier, you can use something like Evernote or Notion for that. Or again, if you're in Microsoft, OneNote, which comes with it, it's more like it's organized like a binder, like of notebooks. That's an awesome app too. But with information management, most stuff you don't need to save. Most stuff you don't need to save. You don't need to be meticulous about putting everything and filing it away. Like, that's kind of crazy. A big tip I would give you is if you're on Gmail or any kind of mail service that has like really large file storage, archive instead of deleting. So most of the stuff, if I get an email that has relevant information, I will move that information over to Notion so that I can find it later, or I'll save it as a file, like maybe it's a tax document or something, I'll save it to my computer. But if it's something I'm like, this may be relevant later, I don't delete it, I archive it. Google Keep works great too, Jeff says. Yeah, absolutely. Team Android. And I'm an Apple user, and I always get a little bit of grief from the Android people, but I try to throw you guys a bone once in a while. All right. The things that you save should go somewhere. Kind of already said that. Have a paper filing system as well. I have a very small paper filing system. I try to be paperless as much as possible. Some stuff has to be paper still. I keep my taxes, you know, that kind of stuff. Get one of those very simple folders. Taking time, even an hour, even 2 hours, it can take a while to get this. Spend some time organizing that. You're going to thank yourself later. Folders on the hard drive, like I mentioned, you can set up your folders by domain of stewardship. So you could have one for this is like your top level folder structure for documents. You could have one for spiritual, one for economical, one for relational, one like you, and then you have a spot where you can have subfolders in there, but it's a very simple organization method. But I would encourage you to have some organization method on your hard drive as well. And then you could use what's called a personal knowledge management system or PKM. So that would be something like Evernote or Notion or something like that. It's basically a note keeping app, right? So there's an example of like organizing stuff by domains, even with your folder structure. Do the same thing. I think that's like the notes app. Just some examples. All right. We got a little in the weeds there. We have two more points here to cover. These ones are a little bit shorter. But here's what I hit on is establish routines. So we're talking about the five keys to more faithfully stewarding your time. One of the best things you can do is put that thing on autopilot as much as possible. If you can set up routines in your life that sort of make you put time towards the stuff that is most important, it means you have to make fewer decisions. It means there's a less of an if about where you're going to use your time wisely today and more of it's inevitable because it became a habit. So establish some routines, and I'm going to recommend three critical routines for you. Let me take a sip of water real quick, and then I'll tell you about these. Three critical routines. And if you're like, I don't have any of these, start with number one and then kind of work up from there. So if you have a morning routine, start thinking about maybe having a weekly routine. If you only have a morning and a weekly routine, then start thinking about quarterly. So it's kind of like something you build on. So morning routine. What do you do when you first get up? That's all this is. If you go on YouTube and you search morning routine, you're gonna get a lot of like rows on there being like, here's a millionaire's morning routine, you know, drink your protein powder. And that's fine. But there is a lot of wisdom in having a plan for what you do every morning. Especially as a believer, reading your Bible in the morning, being in prayer, like those are a great idea to start your day that way. But one thing you can do is you can sort of build out a whole bunch, like a habit train where each of them rides in the back of one another. And it's sort of self-reinforcing. So I teach something I call power mornings, and it's a five element morning routine. You can do this in as little as 30 minutes a day, or you can make each of these parts longer and have it be a really long morning routine. But I'll tell you, this will change your life. That's not hyperbole. It actually will change your life. And so it's power. It's another acronym, POWER. So number one and three there, P and W, pray in the word. Have time in the morning when you first get up. Don't look at your phone yet. Don't look at anything. Go spend some time praying. I use this little note card system thing that has different prayer requests on it, little cute little lockbox. And I just pray through cards on here, spend some time praying whatever's on my mind, keep it really, really simple. And then going through, I just read a chapter a day in the Bible. You can follow a Bible reading plan, read a lot more. Doesn't matter. It's just the point is to commune with the Lord, spend some time there. Then you can do things like organize. Organize just means making a plan for the day. This is the time when I do that thing where I look at my task list and I pick the three priorities and then circle the one. I do that during the organized part of my routine. Exercise. I'm not saying you need to do like a full workout. Maybe you go to the gym at a different time of day or something like that. I'm just saying if you want to orient yourself towards the day ahead, why not orient your heart towards God through prayer and the word? Orient your head towards what you're going to be working on by organizing, planning for the day, and orient your body towards like waking up. Like a lot of people would be served really well. They're like, I don't do a morning routine because I just wake up so groggy. I'll tell you what will wake you up. A couple push-ups, some jumping jacks, running in place, just a little bit of exercise, get the blood flowing, will wake you right up and kind of wake your body up and get it ready for action. And then number five is just, I like to journal. I like to spend a little bit of time reading. So I'll have a book and I'll have my journal there. Because again, like I said, if you can get one habit, you can do five habits, right? If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. If you can get one of these habits going, why not make that time where you do all of these habits? And here's what I found is by having multiple habits you're trying to do at the same time of day, they are self-reinforcing. So I might wake up and be like, ah, I don't want to pray. I don't want to do the word thing. I don't want to do the exercise thing. But when I sit down and do the portion like organized for the day, it's like a reminder, well, I already did that one. Why not go back and do the other ones? And so the habits can actually help each other. Yeah. Thanks, Luke, for getting the dodgeball reference. All right. The second critical routine that I think is just so, so important is having a weekly review. Having a weekly review. It's just a time each week when you look back at the previous week, you kind of close things out, and you look ahead at the week to come. That's all a weekly review is, okay? And so you deal with loose ends. So for me, it's Friday afternoon, my day ends. So at noon, I'm done working on projects, on tasks for the week. I know not everyone has this option. Like maybe you have meetings on Fridays or something, but this is when I've chosen to do mine. And it might be different for you. Some people do Sundays so it doesn't get interrupted. Doesn't matter when you do it. But once a week, have some time set aside where you deal with all the loose ends. You leave yourself some breadcrumbs so you can catch up with what you were doing the week before. You know, don't work all the way to the buzzer. Close out tasks. Look ahead at your calendar. What's coming up next so that you're not, you know, you don't come in Monday and you're caught flat-footed. Right? You spend some time reflecting on the week beforehand. Thank the Lord for the opportunities, repent of things where you fell short. It's a great little ritual to kind of go through weekly. And get creative. Take some time to, as you get this stuff off your head, you're going into the weekend. If you do this on Friday, like I do, you start to come up with ideas and jot them down as like you're kind of ending the week. And then pray. Spend a lot of time praying. I love having that check-in where you're just looking back at the week, looking at the week of the head and committing it all to the Lord. The last one, this is sort of like the most advanced one, is a quarterly review. Okay, here's a routine. Once a year, some people will do like a review of the year and plan the year ahead. We actually do these every December. I'll send an email out about this when it comes up later this year. But we do like an annual planning webinar thing like this that's free for anyone who wants to come. But I found that doing this quarterly is way better. Instead of just waiting a whole year, I know that every 3 months, like I should say it this way, if I get off course with things, I know that I'll be kind of forced back on a course at least 3 months, every 3 months. So I put these on my calendar and I have a time to check in and sort of reevaluate more big picture how things are going in my life. So I look at my progress. I pull out that well done sheet that we talked about earlier and say, how am I doing in these areas? Where am I falling short? I even give myself a little grade on each of those. I'll set new goals for the quarter. I'll say, here's a big goal for this quarter to try to help me to be more faithful in this area of life. I'll adjust my systems and routines. This is when I'll kind of do my spring cleaning and be like, okay, let's clear out all these old tasks. What are my priorities right now? It's just a chance 4 times a year to sort of back up, zoom out, and say, what should I be doing? And again, all this is done prayerfully. And also, you know, in the academy, we do this. We do quarterly goal setting, and we actually walk you through this process. And then when you choose a goal, we help you define. James, our main productivity coach for doing Productivity Academy, he will help you refine that goal, get real specific with it. And then we keep you accountable every week with a check-in post, and we do a live call once a month each quarter so that you can actually stick with that goal. So if you're somebody who, like, I have some big goals, but I can't stick with them, this is one of the biggest benefits of being a member of our academy. If you don't have people in your own life who are keeping you accountable for that, we're happy to step in and help you with that as well. Okay, let's look at the fifth and final point, and that is schedule your week. This one I'm going to go through quickly just because we're almost out of time, for the main part. And I want to save a little bit of time to, give you a chance to hear more about the academy if you're interested in sticking around for that, but schedule your week. This might sound obvious, but what I encourage people to do is create an ideal schedule. And again, with the academy, we have a whole thing that'll walk you through all the steps of this in creating a thing like this, but what you want to do, and I think there's a lot of wisdom in this, is creating an ideal schedule for yourself. So not something you're going to stick through perfectly, but a schedule that is kind of tells you each day of the week, what on a perfect week, what would I be doing each day of the week? What would I be doing in these different times? And it gives you a definition of normal To stick with something that when things all go crazy during your week, you say, well, what should I be working on now? I got back. What should I be working on? Oh, this is the time I've set aside to do writing. This is the time that I'm supposed to be doing emailing. I found this tremendously, tremendously helpful. This has been one of our most popular courses, the one that teaches this. And you basically develop a plan like this on a Google sheet, and it actually even divides it up into domains of stewardship, so you can see the areas where you're not spending as much time, so you can kind of make adjustments as you want to. But that is it. That's the five keys to faithful time stewardship. That's why we're managing our time. We're wanting to glorify God better, and one of the best ways to do that is use your time wisely. So that someone asked in the chat, what's the name of that course? It's called Optimize Your Week. You can find all this stuff on redeemingproductivity.com. If you go to the store, there's a courses section, but also that and everything we have is included in the academy. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you next. That's the end of like the webinar portion of this, but I'd love to, if you guys want to hear more about the academy, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that and just over the next 5 minutes here. And then I'll be happy to stick around and answer any questions about the academy or about anything on the slideshow. We can nerd out about apps, any of that stuff. So let me just say thanks for being here. And let me just talk a little bit about the academy and answer any questions you might have about that. Okay, so if you want to go deeper on this stuff, this is why we kind of made a program to help you with that. It's called Redeeming Productivity Academy. We're trying to help people because like, and 1 hour webinar is not going to, you're not going to be able to implement all of this stuff. It's an ongoing lifelong journey of trying to figure, learn how to be more and more productive, how to build new habits, set goals and reach them. So that's why we developed this program that you can come in, you can learn a lot. There's a lot of educational component. There's actually six, I think now 7 or 8 courses that are available in it. The Optimize the Week course we were just talking about, that's in there too. That's all in there. But there's also a community. We're helping to keep, stay you help you keep accountable through quarterly goals, all that stuff. And who's this for? You're like, is this just for people in a career? No, we have a lot of pastors in there, people in full-time ministry. We have a lot of Christian professionals, homemakers, homeschoolers, a big contingent of that, students, entrepreneurs, even a fair number of retirees that are trying to make the most of their golden years. I'm glad I told you about this a little bit, but the idea is we're going to help you break down big goals. We'll first define them in terms of how do I glorify God better with this goal, and then break it down into natural steps, into habits that actually help you reach the goal. And so we do that once a quarter. That the next one's coming up end of June. We're going to kick that off. So we're right in the middle of one right now. But it's one of my favorite things. We do over and over again. And again, James Parker, our head productivity coach, he leads people through that. We have a community, has a ton of stuff in it. We have a book club. We'll read through productivity books together, workshops like this, accountability stuff, office hour. Every week you can get a call with me and a handful of other people that happen to jump on and talk shop about productivity. And all of this, we've tried to make it super affordable. All of it is, it's not $7,000. All of it is just $35 a month. It's $35 a month. Come in for a month. Try it. If you don't like it, there's a 30-day money back guarantee. So try it for a month, dive into the courses with us, come to some stuff. And you're like, it's not for me. No hard feelings. Let me know. We'll give you a refund. Happy to do that. But we've made it ridiculously cheap, I think, in terms of all the stuff that's in there. So I would encourage you to check that out. We also have a coaching option. I've talked about James a lot, who's a professional productivity coach. This is really big for people who are wanting more personal attention to customize plan of action, weekly one-on-one calls, reminders. James is just an expert. He's been my coach to help me with my productivity, even running this business since 2020. So that's an option if you're like, I want to spend some more so I have some more individual one-on-one attention. That includes the whole academy as well. So you can get that. There's also a discount on the standard membership. If you get annual, it's $350. So basically you're getting 2 months free. And so you can find both those at redeemproductivity.com/academy or /coaching. There's information about each of those, how to sign up, all of that. And then for those of you who sat through this, if you sign up for an annual plan today, I have a bonus for you. This also applies if you sign up for coaching today or book a discovery call with James today. If you're like, I want to do the coaching thing, but I also want this bonus. If you go to the coaching page and book a discovery call with James and you end up coming through and becoming one of his clients, we'll send you one of these too. But I'll send you a signed copy of one of my books. So Redeeming Productivity, Getting More Done for the Glory of God. You can get a copy of this if you do an annual plan, or if you book a discovery call with James today, we will get you one of those. Or you're like, I already have this book. That's how I found out about you. I also just, I'm going to email you and ask you for your address, where to send it. Just tell me in that email whether you want this book. This is my newest book, Well Done, A Strategy for Life Stewardship. It's a lot like this, the same details, kind of stuff we went through on this webinar, but it's more on the theological side of how stewardship is a great lens to look at the Christian life and how it changes the way we approach it. So either one of these, I'll sign it and send it to you. This is only for US addresses, and again, annual plan or coaching is the way to get that. I'll throw some FAQs up on the screen, but that is my spiel on that. Now, let me know if you have any questions, if it's about the Academy or any of the stuff we talked about through the webinar. Just drop them in the chat. I will answer anything. If you don't want to stick around for the next part, thanks so much for being here. I hope this was a blessing to you. I'm going to send the video out of this once it processes so you can review it if you want to, and you're welcome to share that with people as well.